I kind of left you hanging yesterday concerning Eve and Adam, the first couple, and I apologize for that, but I do know what happens to them at the Great White Throne. I'm certain I know why they're not going to be in the kingdom, because they're not Israelites. The 1,000 years is reserved for Israelites. It's like a table at a restaurant, and you have a reservation sign on top of the table, and if you come in there randomly, you can't sit at that table. It's reserved. The 1,000 years is reserved for Israel. And you think that, well, not getting into that kingdom is a punishment, but it's not. How can not being born an Israelite be a punishment? How can being born a hardened Israelite and not getting into the kingdom for that reason be a punishment? Who hardened you in the first place? God. And the majority of that nation is hardened today. Do you think that any of the Israelites alive today are going to get into that kingdom? They don't even believe in Jesus. How can they be in the kingdom? Jesus, how can they be in the kingdom? They don't even believe in Jesus. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender coming to you from my laundry room, making sense for a living on the Revelation series since 2014 when I started this series. So I know what happens to Adam. I'm going to keep you in suspense. I also know what happens to Eve. They're going to be together again. Many people have themselves buried next to each other in this life, so their bones can be close. And what do I think of that? It's kind of sweet. It's kind of sweet. Yeah, I can dig that. But here's something more exciting. They're going to be standing next to each other at the Great White Throne. Why not? I think that the resurrection there will be organized and that you will be standing next to those you grew up with, those you lived with, your near ones, and your dear ones. So imagine that. What a reunion that will be. And yet there is a judgment coming. And I'm going to today dispel your false ideas about judgment. No, it's fine. I'm happy to do it. This is what I do. I'm going to dispel your false ideas about judgment, and I'm going to replace them with true ideas about judgment. And you have no worries whatsoever. First of all, of course, we are not judged at the Great White Throne. This is not for us. We are resurrected long before that. At least 1,003.5 years before that. That's a long time before the Great White Throne. And as I told you earlier, we are not only not subject to the Great White Throne judgment, but we, those of rulers and reigners among us, we are probably the dispensers of the judgment. We are the arbiters. We are the righteous, Christ-minded, pure-thinking, objective debilitators, deliberators. We are deliberators is what I meant to say, but debilitators is also true, because we're going to debilitate a lot of people at the Great White Throne. They're going to be still think they're all that, and we're going to debilitate them with a word, or we're going to show the film. We're going to run the film and show them their life and show them how they rejected the truth and maybe even rejected us. And they will be debilitated before our very eyes as a result of our deliberation. It's going to be a great thing. You're finally going to get your due. And again, the reason we hate judgment here, because there is no judgment here. There's no righteous judgment. There is no righteous judgment. So we almost all go astray on the topic of judgment. Our idea of judgment is so distorted because it's tainted by our dealings with humanity and our witnessing of the court systems today that, and not to mention religious misconceptions. Michelangelo painted that amazing cartoon there on the Sistine Chapel, and it's a frickin' cartoon. I hate it. It's great art, sure, yeah. He laid on his back on a scaffold and painted away. The Pope came in and said, "Well, this is going fine, I suppose, but I want a judgment scene, and I want it now." And so he painted that amazing judgment scene of people in hell and people getting whacked by oars held by demons. Just absolute cartoon, absolute ridiculousness. And so this has warped everybody's conception of judgment. Anybody that's been to church has a screwed up conception of judgment. And we usually only connect judgment with criminals. Who's a criminal? Anybody but us. Yeah, anybody but us is a criminal. And we associate judgment with criminals and with the vicious and the vile who have done evil things. And of course, we are never vicious and vile. Those of us who chose Jesus Christ, while the rest of you did not make that wise decision. The hypocrisy. To me, all this is going to be exposed at the Great White Throne. That's why I can't wait for it. Because to me, the religious pride is much more evil and diabolical than Charles Manson, Tex Watson, and Periwinkle, and all those. The Manson family, that's the epitome of evil. But to me, no. To me, the epitome of, that's obvious. It's so obvious. The epitome of evil is religious evil that dresses itself up in whitewash and condemns millions of people through their evil teachings. These people are going to be judged right next to Charles Manson. So again, there's Charles Manson and Pope Francis, or Pope John Paul. Everybody loved Pope John Paul, right? See you at the Great White Throne. You're not a believer. You're a Catholic. And you believe like a Catholic. So he's going to be standing at the Great White Throne next to Susan Atkins of the Manson family. That'll be interesting, really interesting. And then there's going to be Adam standing next to John Lennon. Interesting pairings. I can't wait to see the table settings and the name cards and see who's sitting next to who. Oh, you're right. Nobody's going to be sitting. They're all going to be standing. My mistake. So the Word of God does not only connect judgment with the vile, the vicious, the criminals, people like Billy Graham, no, but it connects it with those who we would consider as good people, saintly people, and yet unbelievers, people who do not believe in Paul's evangel or in the Israelite evangel for that matter. And judgment also, this needs to be pointed out, it's not confined to the discovery and the punishment of sin. It's incidental. Of course, you're going to discover sin when you judge, but it's mainly a looking into, it's a discernment of one's life, of one's actions. Oh, speaking of actions, I got to read the passage here because I want you to understand that those judged at the Great White Throne are not judged in accord with their belief in Christ. We already know they didn't believe in Christ. That's why they're at the Great White Throne. And people who lived before Christ can't believe in Christ. Wait a minute. The Israelites didn't believe in Christ either, but they held to the coming of the Messiah. And that's good enough because they're Israel. So they were in the realm of looking for the Messiah. It's not their fault the Messiah hadn't come. So they couldn't believe in Jesus per se, but they believed in the coming one and they believed the message of God, of Yahweh specifically, the same God who would bring the Messiah to the earth. So it's not simply a matter of believing in Jesus. It's a matter of being Israel centric, and I can't even say that because Abraham was not Israel-centric because Israel was yet in his loins, you might say. So it is a matter of being Yahweh-centric. And in Genesis 10 is when God began to call out one nation. So it's all about a nation and the germ of the nation as found in the loins of Abraham. Here's the passage. I'm going to give you the context again because we're going to be on this for a little while. Unveiling chapter 20, starting with verse 12. And I perceived the dead, the great and the small. Again, that's a figure of speech, the dead. He's perceiving, John is, the recently dead. It's a figure of speech called retention. The great and the small standing before the throne. And scrolls were opened. I haven't gotten here yet formally. And another scroll was opened, which is the scroll of life. This is the biggie. I'm going to be talking a bit about this. And the dead were judged by that which is written in the scrolls in accord with their acts. That's the whole of verse 12. The dead are judged in accord, not with a system of belief, but in accord with their acts, what they did. This will solve the problem that many of us have with the fact that good people are not believers. Many, many good people are not believers. Lots of Girl Scouts, lots of Boy Scouts. Sammy Davis Jr., that's the only one I can think of right now. Dean Martin, the Rat Pack, funny guys, great, entertaining, like to watch them on YouTube. Unbelievers, but good guys, entertained a lot of people, harmless. They drank whiskey and smoked cigarettes, so what, big deal. I liked those guys. They will be judged completely on their acts, whether they were good people. And many, many, billions, even trillions of people were good, but were simply not given faith. And again, this only reminds us how rare it is to be given faith. And you can accept the rarity of faith when you understand that those not given faith do not end up in eternal torment. This raising at the great white throne and finding out what happens here, what happens when the book of life is open and when judgment is righteous and when God is not a raving lunatic, but he's sitting on a white throne. It's great to know that this does not end in eternal torment. It does not end in annihilation. It ends eventually in salvation for all these people. It has simply not been appointed to some of them, the Rat Pack excepted, to go on to the new earth. Yes, because I believe that Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin and Joey Bishop and Frank Sinatra and they will all end up on the new earth. I'm telling you this. You can quote me on this. Dean Martin, Sammy Davis. Was Peter Lawford part of the Rat Pack? I don't know. Joey Bishop. Jerry Lewis, he wasn't. No, Jerry Lewis was too goofy to be in the Rat Pack. These great men will be on the new earth, not as immortals, but as mortals, because they will be judged according to their acts. And you have to have some vile acts in order to be cast into the lake of fire. So to get ahead of myself a little bit on my teaching on the lake of fire, which is the second death, I believe that actually at the great white throne judgment, subsequent to it, that very few are cast into the lake of fire. Relatively few. Because as we just read, there is a book that is open. It is a scroll of life. And people were judged according to their acts, what they did. And there's also a passage in Romans chapter 2. I got to remember to bring this to you. Romans 2 gives details, really. Romans 2 about what is going to happen to the bad apples and how they're going to feel, because people are just so alive. They're so alive at the great white throne. This isn't like ghosts appearing at the great white throne. We're not talking about spirits. We're not talking about people you can run your hand through because they're ethereal. We're talking about actual people standing with bodies, fully alive, fully conscious, fully aware of what's happening, having their lives passed before them, being shown the film of their times, and they're going to be experiencing everything they would experience if such a thing were to happen to them in this life. It's going to be that real. I don't have to even say it's going to be that real, because it is real. It's that real. No, it's simply real. So this great white throne is a tribunal. And it is a tribunal at which justice will provide. That's the underlying word here. I'll leave you with that as I close here gradually. I'm going to close like just justice. Everything will be made right. Just / right. Similar root words there. Everything will be made right. Justice will be served. Everyone will get his or her due. Nothing will be left unsought, unexposed. Everything that anyone has ever done, both good and bad, will be either acknowledged or done away with, accursed. The people themselves won't be accursed, but the things that they did, the bad things, will be. And even the good people did bad things. Except for Dean Martin, I don't think. You know, that whole thing with Dean Martin acting like drunk all the time, it was a shtick. Dean Martin was a very loyal family man. And this whole thing of him always carrying around a glass of booze, it was a shtick. He was never really drunk. It was an act. Good old Dean Martin. See ya on the new earth, buddy. Anyway, justice. Wrongs will be righted at the great white throne. The secrets of all will be exposed. This is going to be the great National Enquirer in the sky. Secrets will be exposed. No lies will be told. So I guess I'd have to say that this won't exactly be like a National Enquirer in the sky. But, everything done in secret, everything done in the darkness, everything done behind closed doors, in rooms where you do what you don't confess. The light will shine, and the cockroaches won't be able to run away. No, the cockroaches themselves will be standing at the great white throne. People will have butterflies in their stomach, I think, probably. A lot of people will be nervous. Everybody will be nervous, even the good people. Even like Joseph's brothers were nervous when they came before him. But Joseph dispelled their worry, their fright, and he embraced them as what he was, their brother. In a sense, God is going to embrace those at the great white throne, even though it's going to be hard for some, as their God. Because for the first time, many of them will recognize that they even had a God. Pure atheists will be here, and they will recognize for the first time that the whole time they had a God. And now certainly they have a God, because there he is. And heaven and earth have fled, all their comforts, all their crutches are gone. You think they're going to be believers at this time? Yeah. But they're not saved by faith. That's our privilege today. They are saved by sight. But happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that, by some amazing act of grace, is us.